Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's an honor to be with you. And certainly we'll be praying for Brother Anderson with the funeral, and he's supposed to be back tonight. And how many think he should be the third game that plays me one-on-one? One pastor got out there and he did it, and he got the first serve away from me. He said, the game's the one, and he sat down. That was the end of the game. But you never know what you're going to meet around this country. You've been in front of 6 million people. You meet some unusual situations. But I know one thing. God wants light in a dark world. Father, I thank you for the way that you've prepared our hearts with the program this weekend. And God, I just couldn't wait to get in the pulpit because of what I heard on Sunday afternoon. Lord, thank you for letting these students be used of you in such a powerful way. Help us to get this truth so clearly that we'll want to take it to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Isn't that interesting? Satan hates light. And Satan is trying to blind people and keep people from the light of the world, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And it's not about us, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And look at verse 7. This light is not given to the unfallen angels only, but look what it's given to. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And the devil can't stand the light of the world. And that it's the glorious gospel. And I found out from New England, I'm from Massachusetts, we parked the car up there, and Boston area, you'll probably notice that as I speak. But the honest truth is, being from New England, there's an awful lot of darkness, but there is also in the places where we call the Bible Belt. Because sometimes it's just a ritual. How many of you are glad it's a relationship? And boy, when we see these verses here, that God has chosen us in earthen vessels to bring light to a dark world is absolutely amazing. And we have the glorious gospel. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me? So I had the answer for this generation, and I said, Lord, is there somehow, some way that I can get the gospel to where the people are? And I never dreamed that God would have me have a bad back and I would play volleyball just to get in shape and start learning the game by just getting out there by myself. I've never been on a team. I hated sports growing up. I was always the last one to be picked for a team. And how many know what that's like? Raise your hands. That's why I play by myself, because nobody wants to play with me. But the truth is, I illustrate you can stand alone and go against the odds. And boy, with Christ in us, the power of God. We have the answer. Now, I like to go to buffets. In fact, if a restaurant is not a buffet, it ought to say closed. I have to eat more than one plate of food when I'm playing a cold court. But you know what? There's all kinds of ingredients on that buffet that you can pick from. But when it comes to how I go to heaven, there's only one thing there, and it's Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I realized that I didn't have just, I had something greater than a cure to cancer. It's where someone's going to go forever. And I was begging God, how can I get this answer to people? Then Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. John 9:5. And I began to see all these scriptures about light. I could quote to you 50 of them right now. But I love this one. It describes our precious salvation. How many are glad you're saved? But hear how it describes it. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness. So when someone's coming to Christ, they're turning around, they're converting from darkness to light. You say, what's a convert? It's when you convert. Do you know what a convert? We need more converts in this country that go from darkness to light. So when you convert, you turn. If you convert from a Panasonic to a Sony, you change from a Panasonic to a what, everybody? A Sony. If you convert from a black suit to a white suit, you change from a black suit to a what? If you convert from a Chevy to a Ford, you're a what? Stupid, but you convert. Now, the honest truth is, it describes our salvation as converting from darkness to light. And we have this treasure to bring that answer to this world. And isn't it interesting? After he says, go and preach the gospel, he says, lo, I am with you always. Why is he with us when we're giving concerts like this weekend? Why is he with us when we're trying to bring light to a dark world? Because it's what he's all about. The reason he left heaven and came down to earth is he's all about bringing light to blindness. And so the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? I know my God is with me. I all day long, I had played volleyball. I got home at 2 in the morning and fell asleep at the wheel. I do not recommend this. I fell totally asleep and my car veered to the left. I'm on a dirt road. And the width of the car is the width of the road. Trees on each side. And I said, thank you, Lord, for taking the steering wheel for me. Well, you gave the gospel and light out today. I'll be with you and drive for you. I turned the car around to go back where I had left the main road, and I'd gone 2 miles. And I said, thank you, God, you're my pilot. I remember this one school I went to. The day before I drove 4 hours, my back was out so bad because I picked up furniture and I forgot you're supposed to use your legs and not your back. But I forgot and I did this and it pulled out. How many of you have ever been there? Raise your hands. And I fell down and it felt like a knife was jabbing me. I said, Lord, do you really want me to go tomorrow? He said, if you go, lo, I am with you always. I got up the next morning. It took me 30 minutes to get my sneakers on. I could hardly get dressed in the time I needed. It took me 45 minutes to get fully dressed. Got in the car, drove 4 hours to the school. When I got there, I couldn't get out of the car because my legs were hurting, but also they were. If I tried to lift my leg to get out of the car, it made the knife jab so bad you wouldn't believe it. Now, how many of you believe that I need my leg to play volleyball? Raise your hand. What'd you do? I reached down and pulled up the leg and got it out with my arms. No exaggeration. Now I have a major problem. My other leg is still in the car. How many believe I need both legs to play volleyball? So I reached down, got the other leg out, and now I'm walking up to the school. No exaggeration. And the principal is at the front door. I said, I'm the one-man volleyball team. And she said, we'll cancel this. And I believe the promise, lo, I'm with you always. I said, bring the kids in the gym. And do you know, for the whole hour, God took the pain away. And afterwards, it came back worse than before. So I graduated from 95 years old to 125 years old. I go to my second school. I'm practically crawling up to that school. And the principal said, we'll cancel this. I said, no, bring the kids in the gym. And during the whole hour, God took the pain away again. Then a few years later, my son-in-law said, you have 277 games in the next 7 weeks. You've got to learn how to stretch. Now, I've not stretched in my whole life because if it isn't broke, don't fix it. Well, I have not stretched. Well, he said, you need to sit down in an Indian position. I sat down in an Indian position, like my son-in-law said, with my leg. He said, now push your knees all the way to the floor. So I did what he said. Halfway down, now I go to my first school in 77 schools, and now it's not my back, it's my knees. I'm walking with the youth pastor in the school like this. I learned a lesson, by the way. Never listen to a son-in-law in your entire life. So I'm walking in the school. He said, I'm nervous. I said, let me ask you something. Did God bring the animals to Noah's Ark at the right time? He said, yes. I said, you watch. When it comes time to play, I remembered what he did before. Lord, please do it again. Because I'm walking in like the whole hour, God took the pain away. From there, I went to the Chinese buffet. The youth pastor had to go get my food for me and bring it to me. And then I went to the second school, and I'm walking in just like that. He said, I'm nervous. I said, if God did it before, can he do it again? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God did it again. Let me say this to brief the story. From there, I went to Walmart to get Bengay. The Bengay was all the way in the back of the store. I could not get down to the Bengay, so I got in the cart and had to drive the cart. The volleyball guard, driving the cart. And you know what? I got to the school, and I had no idea this time how it could ever happen again. It was hurting so bad. As soon as it started, God removed the pain. Why? Lo, I'm with you always. Why? I came to bring light to a dark world. You're in front of the dark world. I will be with you. May I say something amazing to God's glory? In all 77 schools, I walked in like this. And in every one of them, God took the pain away when it was time to do what he called me to do. I have a great God. How many believe we do have a great God? Raise your hands. And he's with us. I remember I was praying because I heard a guy on the television say, I don't preach on hell. I said, why don't you preach like Jesus? He did 162 times. And he said, he has 60,000. I don't preach on hell. I prayed, dear Lord, is there some way that I could preach on hell and the love of God on television? Because how many believe both are true? Right? And I said, Lord, there's got to be a way. And then I was praying for cameras, three of them, to film a program. And I was praying because my furnace had a crack down the side of it. And that crack, they came and they condemned my furnace. They said, you have to get a new one, $10,000. I was praying God would provide $10,000 for a new furnace. I was praying for a way to preach on hell and the love of God on television. And I was praying for a way to pay the furnace $10,000. How many believe God answers prayer? Guess what happened? Honest truth. A man called me on the phone. He said, are you anywhere near Carrollton, Texas? I said, let me check my calendar. I was 5 minutes from there, my first meeting. He booked me in a short notice, and I walked in the gym, and there's three cameras ready to film the program. He said, we had a movie star cancel. Can we film your program? I said, sure, that'd be fine. When it was over, he said, here's the footage. I love what you're doing. I got the camera. Answer to prayer. That night, the movie producer came to the evening gospel rally. Guess what I was preaching on? Judgment and the love of God and hell. And do you know what he said? This wasn't the feel-good gospel. This was the truth. Do you mind if I air it on television? I said, not at all. And then he handed me a check for $10,000 that paid the furnace. And I said, sir, are you an angel? And he didn't answer me. And then he disappeared. No, that didn't happen. But you say, what is the chances of that? There's a God who wants light in a dark world. And he says, lo, I'm with you always. I'm there if you're burdened for souls. I'm going to be with you all the way. A man in Charlotte, North Carolina, came to one of my schools. He was a businessman. And he watched the assembly. He said, we need to get you in all the Charlotte schools. And I didn't know how this would ever happen. But he said, I'm going to think about bringing you here. 3 months went by. I left him a voicemail. I said, would you consider showing my video to the public schools, to the superintendent? He's in Phoenix, 2,000 miles away from Charlotte. He's listening to my voicemail. Would you show my video to your superintendent of Charlotte schools? Would you believe it? When he put his phone down, in walks the superintendent of the Charlotte schools, 2,000 miles away. He said, he sat with me on the airplane. He was scheduled to sit by me. I said, how God works. Lo, I am with you always. Let's say that loud like we're at a Super Bowl game. Lo, I'm with you always. Say it.
Lo, I'm with you always.
Why? Why? Because he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, and the great commission's given. He says, lo, I'm with you. Even though you're walking in a gym like this, when you're weak, I'll be your strength. And if you think it's you, it's not you. I've never once played one-man volleyball. It's been all God giving me the strength, and I give him the credit for it. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Listen, God says, I want the gospel so much going out, it cannot be hid. So let your light shine and don't hide it under a bushel. Why? I don't want it hid. Why? I'm all about this. When I heard that away in the manger was dangerous in a school, silent night was dangerous. So they're putting to silence silent night. But they said, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer is fine. I said, I want to bring light to a dark world. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, here's a group of people for two concerts that want light to go out. And obviously that was so clear. And you could see your hearts, every one of you. And this is a condemnation that light is come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Do you mean to tell me it's all about light? It's all about light? Yes, and what we've done in churches and in Christian communities around the country is we have cursed the darkness but haven't turned on the light. Now, if we made this whole auditorium pitch black, and I came in that back door and I began cursing the dark auditorium, Holmes, turn the light on! And once the light goes on, what happens to the darkness? It leaves. We've cursed the White House but haven't been faithful to the church house. We've cursed the drug addict, but do we turn the light of the world on for him? We've cursed the public school humanism, but God, convict me. I want to go to more. I've gone to 6,000. Now they all have a new student body. God, there's never enough to do. God, you want your light shining in this dark world. Well, I curse the mask, curse the vaccines, curse the COVID, curse the TV. It's not the TV's fault. It's the fact we don't turn the light of the world on. God, help us to see this today. When I heard a principal say we had 5 suicides in 7 weeks. I said, what they need is the light of the world. And I saw this and I couldn't get over it. I saw one principal said, he said this, actually said it. He said, we had something horrible happen here. Come here. He took me out the front door and here was a mock cemetery right in front of the school of 15 kids that had died recently in his school. And I said, the light of the world is needed. In 6,000 gyms, I mean up in the, not just the Bible Belt, but in places like Chicago and North, and places, I would say in my assembly, I talk about drugs, alcohol, bullying. Then they get invited to an evening gospel rally with the church, renting the high school on the final night, and there's been 100,000 come to the Lord since 9/11. By doing these daytime assemblies, inviting them back to the evening, and then they respond to the gospel. But in every setting during the daytime, I would end the assembly saying, Jesus Christ is not a curse word. He's my Savior, and I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Christian. And in every school, they erupt into an applause, like all of a sudden the darkness leaves the room. Because of the power of the name of Christ, God wants light in a dark world so desperately. Principal said, you're in a middle school now, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I just said suicide, just said the word. The whole school started weeping. The principal said, let me tell you why they all cried. 2 doors down from the gym. We haven't even cleaned the blood off the wall yet because a student just shot himself in that room. God wants light in a dark world. He doesn't want us to seclude the gospel inside the Christian social clubs. Do we turn the light on where the people are? Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted in the earth. In the earth. Oh, I love this one. I might get excited. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst. Everybody say in the midst. Say it again. What's that mean? In the middle of it. In the middle of darkness. Listen to this. In the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, shine as lights in the world. And when I heard a monk sat in a chair for 37 years and never got up from that chair and sat there because he thought it would help pay for his sins and the sins of his relatives, and he never got up from that chair for 37 years, never saw the world again, went into a cloistered, you know, whatever they call where a monk goes, and he would not get up from that chair. You know what I'm so glad about? Jesus paid it all. If you love the fact that Jesus paid it all and you don't have to sit in a chair for 37 years, say amen. Amen. But you know what? We are supposed to be in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I'll be in three assemblies Thursday at the school is called Midland Trail. And I'll be there doing three assemblies. Pray, because we're going to have an evening rally Friday night as well as a nighttime tonight. And you can bring friends. How many believe your friends and people around need to hear the truth? And so let's bring them there. So many will come to see how does one guy beat a team. So I'll be playing at 7 o'clock Friday night and in front of all those school assemblies during the day. And the principal said, I want to see some of my kids saved this week. And I thought, wow, you don't hear that up in the north where I'm from. And he said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So out of the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Give as it was given to you in your need. Love as the master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Make me a blessing. Listen, out of my life may Jesus shine. I'm sitting back there weeping because I'm thinking, here's a whole theme of light in a dark world. God, please give me strength to make it another 10 years and to keep going, because this world needs light so bad. An atheist came to my school, said, I didn't get saved when I first saw you, but my wife kept working on me for 5 years, and I finally received the Lord as Savior, and she's dead right now, and I want to thank you for being here. In one school, a football team, the whole team got saved. In another school, there were 900 saved that night in one school. And the pastor said, it's going to take us a year to get to everybody. 6 months later, they went to a home. Oh, we remember that guy's message. Would you please come in? And the whole family got saved. You just never know who you're reaching. But how many believe the gospel still has power in it? Amen. Listen to this. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So if he came here to save sinners, it ought to be our goal to carry on that mission. Now, I had a guy come to me, he said, sounds like a gimmick for you to go play volleyball as an evangelist. Most of my criticism hasn't been from the principals. They're crying after the assemblies. I wish we could have said Jesus ourselves, but we're glad you did. And then the leadership of churches will say, oh, it's a gimmick. It sounds just, what are you doing that for? Listen to this. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them? But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus said this, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, because I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. How many believe God came to save sinners? Do you have a desire to let your light shine where people are? I was in a university right in the midst of Manhattan. The gym was packed. I read this. When God wanted to save man from its sin, how does he do this? He becomes a baby that cries Jesus, God in the flesh, born to a teenage mother in a cave on the side of a hill, placed in a cow trough. What? No palace, no red carpet. He grows up and becomes a carpenter. No fast-track education at Harvard, no cushy desk job, a carpenter cutting down trees, sawing the wood into planks, and then building things. And when he began his ministry, he slept on the sides of the road, no national headquarters, no executive suites. Who would you find washing dirty feet, touching a stinking leper, having dinner with a traitor, welcoming a dirty woman, and ultimately dying the worst death known to man, crucifixion? All alone on the cross, you find the creator of the universe doing that for you. And when the whole thing was over, a guy walked up. He said, did you know you were in a Jewish college? I said, no. There were 200 to 300 that made sure they were saved that night. I'm glad for the power of the gospel. A little girl stood near a small church, and she had been turned away because there was no room in the Sunday school. Seeing the shabby, unkept appearance, the pastor guessed the reason and took her by the hand, took her inside and found a place for her. In the Sunday school class, she found a place. The child was so happy they had room for her. She went to bed that night thinking of all the children who have no place to worship. 2 years later, the child was dead in one of the apartment buildings. Her parents called to the kind-hearted pastor who had befriended their daughter. As her poor little body was being moved, a worn and crumpled red purse was found, which had this rummaged from a trash dump. Inside the purse was 57 cents and a note, scribbled with childish handwriting, which read this: "This is to help build the little church bigger so more people can hear the truth." For 2 years, she had saved this love offering. When the pastor tearfully read the note, he knew exactly what he would do. Carrying the note and the cracked red pocketbook to the pulpit, he told the story of her unselfish love and devotion. He challenged the deacons to get busy, raise enough money for a larger building. But it didn't end there. One of the newspapers found out about it. It was read by a realtor who offered them a parcel of land worth many, many thousands of dollars. Now it would be millions. And it was offered in a very unusual way. When told that the church could not pay for the property, he offered to sell it to the church for 57 cents. So what is my little 57 cents going to do? I'm a college student. I'm barely making it through to finals and all the rest of it. I mean, what can I do? God can turn 57 cents into something that makes something. How many believe our God wants light in a dark world, that he'll use your 57 cents? God, help us to see this today. God wants light in a dark world. There's so much more I want to say. I'm going to give part two at the game tonight. I hope you'll come and especially hear part two of this, because in chapel you run out of time. There's a demon-possessed little clock here that says I have 1 minute left. And a door opens up and I disappear. And then I'm crippled and can't play volleyball tonight. So let me end with this. I was going to be in front of 10,000 kids in the state of Maine. The church canceled it. I said, why are you canceling? Because our leadership thought there wouldn't be enough room in the Sunday school for all those that would get saved. So I put a sermon together, no room in the independent Baptist church. No room. No room. In the back of one church, they heard a noise. A guy came through the door all shabby, torn pants, and it wasn't for style. But he was very, very in bad situation. He came in the church. He tried to find a seat, but he couldn't find the seat. He came walking down the aisle, and to the right and left it was full. He came a little closer, full. He got all the way to the front row, full. The guy sat down on the carpet in front of that full front row to listen to the sermon. They heard another noise from the back of metal touching metal. They turned around again and saw the 85-year-old crippled deacon standing up with his walker coming down the aisle, and every step he took you could tell he was in pain. It seemed like forever for him to get up front. He got near the guy and he said, would somebody please take my walker and help me down to sit with him? Why? He wanted light seen in this man, so I'll befriend him and I'll sit with him. And with his crippled body, he sat down next to the guy. There's a world around us going through a lot of things. The boy came in the homeroom and he had a puddle of tears on his desk. Principal said, what's wrong? The homeroom teacher said, what's wrong? He said, you won't believe it. Last night I got so drunk I didn't know what I was doing. I picked up the hot poker and stuck it in the fireplace. It was red hot. And I just got a text from my mother from the emergency room that says my little baby brother now has 60 holes in his body thanks to me. Oh, how people need light And it was my prayer when I came here, dear God, help me not to just give words. But God, when you can have a college sing the kind of songs we heard here, God, help me to carry on what the Spirit of God started on whenever you started these concerts. God used you, and God stirred my heart. But how many would agree with me? God wants light in a dark world. Raise your hands if you believe that. Now, would you say, dear God, use me? Father, I pray that each one of us would decide that we would take our life for the gospel's sake. For the answer, not just another suggestion. We have the answer for where a soul is going to go forever. And I have a whole sermon on hell. And when you take a trip with Jesus to the lake of fire, you'll come back on fire. Especially when you see the sights that he brought up about hell being a lake of fire. And you have the answer for this dark world. How many of you would say, if God spoke to me during this message to want to bring more light to darkness, would you raise your hands real high? It is my prayer that God will use me to bring more light to darkness. Lord, thank you for those hands. Lord, thank you for the students. Thank you for the faculty. Thank you for the hard work our music man must have went through to put this together. Lord, you are opening a door that is so incredible where there's a possibility, dear God, where I'll be able to bring this message, that video we saw, to the entire world through somebody who has connections with all the countries. Dear God, I would love to see these students maybe on that and singing one of their favorite songs about the light in a dark world. Because, Lord, we believe you could use that message, and I pray you'd continue to open that door as we move forward. Lord, I'll tell them more about it tonight in the meeting. God, thank you for speaking to all of us about your light and how much you want it in the dark world. Or you wouldn't have left heaven. You could have preached to us from heaven and said, sinner, repent or perish. But you became flesh and dwelt among us because you wanted light in a dark world so bad. Thank you for bringing that light to us in Jesus' name. Amen.